describes the formula for Hesped. He says, in the first Hesped, the Hechad of Bar Urion, who Saftile Bishvocha de Reisa, Bar Avon of Bar Urion, Saftile Bishvocha de Nafshe, with the Abbasir. A person who is a Ben Taylor, who comes from an illustrious family, Bar Avon, one should talk both about his greatness in Torah and that of his family. I can't say that I knew of Moshe well. However, for a period of 10 years, probably you can call it our formative years, we're very close, to say the least. We learned together, we ate together, we roomed together. We confided in each other, sharing our dreams and our yearnings. To be honest, to a certain extent, at that point in our lives, the world looked at us as almost one personality. In context of that, I probably must confess that I think that I probably have a unique window and vantage point to make a feeble attempt to understand him. Frankly, he trusted me, and I hope and pray that I am worthy of that trust. And in that context, I feel it is important to reveal some of those insights which I was not privy to reveal. And I'll take the liberty of doing that. I pray that we'll all be able to grow from these insights and hope that Rav Moshe will not look at this as a breach in that trust. Our relationship started about 41 years ago. When he asked me to study with him. To the best of my recollection, we were scheduled to study from about 10:15 p.m. to 12 a.m. I don't know how to say this, but sensing his determination and complete commitment to learning, I was ashamed to close my sfarim at 12 a.m. We continued and continued to at least 4 a.m. Something like that, you know, many years ago. As the days progressed, our Seder began earlier and earlier and ended later and later. I I tried my best to keep up with him. But it was clear that we came close to or surpassed commonly assumed parameters of minimum sleep necessary to function. I recall many times, I did not reach his tachis, that I was so tired that I went into REM sleep in between steps and woke up when my foot hit the ground. And I had a dream in between. His mere presence forced me to realize the words of the Medrash, that at 18, one is like a horse, galloping in all directions, testing his physical stamina and broadening horizons. The Tanchuma in Parshas Pekudei, Siman Gimel. Frankly, I was ashamed to admit that I was tired and galloped along with him on the ride. The Seder started in Menachos on Daf Vav and Aleph. We started learning Kodshim. That is what his grandfather was studying with him. The way it worked out is that he would go back to Brookline every 2 weeks and intensively study the text that we had worked on over these 2 weeks with his grandfather over the weekend. Upon return to New York, he would review his grandfather's insights and would move on in Menachos. During the day, his grandfather exposed us as part of the general shiur that year to both Nezikin, Aser Chesawumin and Akleines, and Zroim, Chala, and Aser Chesapoil. In short, it was an amazing year to gain insights into three stolen mishas: Kochim, Zroim, and Ezekiel. Since this was our formative years, the years of the Sus, it was clear that at the end of the year, the Moshe's yearnings and horizons had changed. At the beginning of the year, his goal was just to master the whole Torah and to be a masmid par excellence. However, at the end of the year, he was yearning and aiming for something loftier. To connect with Torah in the unique way that his ancestors connected with Torah. This included the Yiras Chet of the Beis Halevi, scrupulously refraining from any issue that might be problematic, both Bein Odom LaMokim and Bein Odom LaChaveiro. As far as Bein Odom LaMokim He refrained from Chodesh in America on his far from common practice. He lived from freezer and frigidaire. Also, being careful about speech, sensitive to the unspoken needs of others. He was mekabel everyone the same upon the office and made time for everyone, even though his desire was just to keep learning more and more. Peirol Lamokim expressed itself in Diktukim Mitzvahs, in the Mitzvahs Lulav, in the Mitzvahs Esreg, in Tekiyas, Matzah, and Ner Chanukah, and other mitzvahs. Over the years, we exchanged many letters. In fact, I was not aware of how many, and I didn't find them all. I found them all in my house during Shiva, and I think there's still another pack which I haven't located yet. Some of them, at least part of them, were discussions of how to help him, or how I can be of service to him, to help him procure a proper esrog, and making sure that he owned it on Sukkos. I vividly recall on Chanukah, someone wanted to play a practical joke on him. They took the contraption which he lit his Hanukkah candles in and removed it long after the time that everyone would assume Mishetichla Regel Nashuk. It wasn't until the wee hours of the morning, and they put this contraption on his car. When we came out to the car, he almost broke down crying. His rises in learning that year also changed. We came across a passage in the Gemara Menachos that, in my opinion, had a profound impact on him. The Gemara relates, Barberei de Rabav Tuvas. Barberei de Rabbi Arturas, grandson to Asire de Rabbi Ozer ben Azaya, is the 10th generation of Rabbi Ozer ben Azaya to Asire Leezra. Rabbi Ozer ben Azaya was the 10th generation of Ezra Seifa, Koya Boba. They told the Preda that this person, who was the 10th generation of Rabbi Ozer ben Azaya, and the 10th generation, after some Ezra Sefer, is Koya Boba, is at the door. The paper said, it's Mom in office, we'll give him a little bit of an hour. Oh my Kuli Hai! What's the big deal? If he's a Ben Taylor, Yoy! Roy. He's Roy. Iba Uyon, Ba Avon, if he's both the Ben Taylor and also has this pedigree, this Yichus of Obis, this illustrious family, Yoy for Yoy! It's double! It's Roy and Roy! However, if he's Bar Avon, V'lo Baruyon, Isha Tichle! He should be consumed by fire. I remember Kamrisha who used to tell me over the Makshah, and I think he made it part of his life. Kimon Shalolomad, Isha Tichle, Kimon Shalolomad, Shia Baltela Kavoisov, Eish Techlenu. He used to say, that you see from this moment, that Yichus is a Machayev. It's a responsibility. It's an all, it's a yoke that man must maintain. This moment changed his horizons. Frankly, Amrisha was clearly successful in living up to this call of the Gemara and the Makshah, and he's therefore worthy of the Hesped that Taluch HaSibelis calls for Ba'ulion and Ba'avon. Years, we had many conversations about approach to learning. I remember vividly one of the issues that plagued his mind is why is it the Talmidim, the students of his grandfather, used the non-Jewish way of years during the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, as great as they are, do not replicate his grandfather's approach to learning. But those of the 70s were closer. Why was it? Why is it that? Frankly, it was not something that was bothering me, but it plagued his mind. And he proposed the following theory. He told me, man dreams only of the humanly possible. One can have a pipe dream to go to the moon, probably now to go to Mars also. But there's no one that dreams to visit Alpha Centauri. That's the nearest star to Earth, before light years. No one has to dream. His insight was that his grandfather in the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s was beyond human comprehension. However, in the 70s, he was already frail and clearly human being. As a human being, even though almost superhuman, we can try to imitate him. Even though it was in the 70s, Rav Moshe reported back to me, saying he accompanied his grandfather for a 4-hour hospital visit in the hospital in Boston with Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Frankly, I never heard the name. And he just said that we were there. And as usual, you know, he didn't say anything more. It was a very good remark. And having no clue who this was, I didn't ask any questions. That was the end of the story. Years later, I heard here in Eretz Yisrael that Rav Shmuel Rozovsky was dazzled by the Rav's greatness in Torah. In fact, there were those in my late wife's family, after hearing the amazement of Rav Shmuel Rozovsky coming back to Ponovich, was hoping and praying that our wedding should be in the States, they should be able to see the Lord. The Rav confided in me and told me in no uncertain terms that he put more time and effort into Rav Moshe than any other person. I assume this was because he felt that Rav Moshe was destined to greatness and could be his intellectual heir. Rav also told me on another occasion that there was or is a certain it, even in italics, that he was trying to teach his students. He told me that he must confess that he was not successful. He tried to describe that it in very poetic terms. But I assume that what he meant, we'll talk more about it later, is that the approach and the peculiar approach of the illustrious Messiah of the family, that of Zayd Rab Chaim and his father Rab Moshe, and whatever he had to offer. In that conversation, the Lord made it clear that the number of successes that he had, he wasn't sure if you could say it was a handful. The mastery of this approach became Rav Moshe's new horizon, and he clearly succeeded. The approach was not rehashing what the Achrenim said about the Gemara. It started with very rigorous text analysis, making sure that every word was understood, both in its particular context and other contexts. The focus was the text of the Gemara, the Rashi, Tosfos and the Rambam. Also it included defining issues very exactly. Every bit of information had to have a proper address to be accessible in some elusive mental database. This database was constructed in a way that it could be accessed and recovered at the proper time. Any theory or idea about an issue required clear, cogent proofs, not a wishy-washy proof, and certainly not merely a flip of a question to an answer. That is to say that the question itself is a sufficient proof for any theory. That's not the way we should look at it. But any theory requires independent corroboration. There was a stress on honesty in learning and seeking truth. This required one to admit that they don't know the answer and hope and pray that someday we'll know. Once he related to me a story that he heard about his grandfather. It seems that someone came to the Rav before a shear with a cow's kidney and an issue of Talfus. And he was supposed to say the shear in a few minutes. He said the way the story was related to him, the Rav rattled off the whole siman in Shulchan Aruch that related to Talfus of Kloya, both the Mechaber and the Ramah, as if nothing happened, and said, "You'll excuse me, I have to say my shiur now. Come to me after the shiur, we'll talk about the problem." Upon the termination of the shiur, the Rav suggested a certain approach. So maybe you can say this way, maybe you can say that way. Afterwards, the person who asked the Rav the question went to the biggest baki in Darkei Tshuva on Yerodeya, and all the issues back and forth were already in the Darkei Tshuva, and the proper conclusion was there. But it was a whole different approach. The Rav came to the conclusion through clarity of thought that the expert came through mastery of the Darkei Tshuva. However, it was clear to me that the it that the Rav was talking about went far beyond this. Frankly, it was not something you could teach. And looking back at it, I'm amazed that he claimed that he was trying to teach it to his students. It's something that can only be imparted to a select few only through osmosis. After many years of toiling, Yoimim Valayla, to try to master the peculiar approach of learning of the family. In fact, the was very clear in the way he described it to me. He says to me, don't ask me what this it is. And then he continued to explain what it was. He said, it is the ability to be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. The sunshine beyond the thick jungle. It is very intuitive. What it really is the it, is clearly the all Godel, the divine inspiration that the Medrash is referring to. It's a Medrash, Parshas Noach, that talks about what learning is all about, what Teresh Bapeh is all about, and very clearly describes what Moshe was involved with during our story, and I assume in general. V'yal shel bal peh ne'emar, aruke b'yeretz mida, u'chov min hayam. Its expanse is without measure. U'ksiv lo simotzei b'yeretz achayim. It will not be found among the living. U'may lo simotzei b'yeretz achayim. V'chibir, it's amazing, Timsa! One will find living in Deathland. Elishol timotze teresh v'alpeh. Eitzel mishem avak yavakesh ho'oineg ho'olam. A person is looking for, seeking pleasure. Taivo v'chobo rugidul l'avon amazeh. El v'mishem eit mis'atzmo yoleho. Where you find Teresh Bapeh. Shenema, Zeis HaTera Odom Kiyomus Boroyo. V'kach Davre Shal Tera. Pas Vamelech Teichal. Umay Mesu Tishte. V'alot Tishon. V'chay Yitza Tichye. V'tera Tomer. The Medrash concludes. V'zuhi Teresh Bapeh. She kosher l'umayit b'yesh bo tzar godol shu meshula kach l'chishach. It's like darkness. Shenem ho'om ha'ochim b'chishach. Ro'o godol! They saw great light. Eilu balei ha'tamud shiro'o godol. Kodesh Baruch Hu Meir Einayim B'Yisa B'Hete B'Tomei B'Toho U'Lasi Lobo B'Yom Seish Hashem B'Vuase. This is what he toiled day and night to get this gift. And it's clear that it requires a complete and utter denial of worldly pleasure and an unswerving and unswaying determination to achieve. In short, it's the antithesis of everything that Western society stands for. This became Rav Moshe's new goal. And it succeeded in the most amazing way. However, one cannot appreciate his determination to achieve this greatness, to fulfill the Gemara Menachos, the call about Uryon, to be roi to the title of Baruyin Ba'avon without understanding his yearnings, without understanding the yearnings of the average student in our proximity. In fact, the importance of learning was not at all on their agenda. Once a student accosted us in the Beis Medrash and asked us to close the Gemara, because now we're wasting our time. The motion picture, the Ten Commandments, is playing on TV. And a picture is worth a thousand words. That was a typical student. No physical obstacles prevented Rav Moshe from achieving his goals. I clearly remember 1973, the first year that we studied together, there was an oil embargo. This was the Arab response to the United States' support of Israel following the Yom Kippur War. The price of oil soared, went up 70%. There was a very limited amount of oil available for heating. There was a profound impact on the heating of the Beis Medrash. In fact, I recall that on many occasions, at 3 or 4 a.m. in the Beis Medrash, the temperature was probably 0 degrees Fahrenheit. It was so cold! You're not going to believe me. The rats were dancing in the Beis Medrash. That's how cold it was. But he continued learning as if nothing happened. Rav Moshe had a contagious excitement for learning. During our last meeting, after the tkiyas, let's say, the many different permutations of tkiyas of Rosh Hashanah to fulfill the obligation of all different rishonim in all different ways, he came over to me and asked me if I recalled the tests that Suva Akarov, that's a double lichitz, Reinu Bocha, had given us exactly 41 years ago. He related the story as if it were yesterday. I was later told by a family member that Rav Moshe came across the issue of this test a week before Rosh Hashanah and wanted to run to my house and knock on my door to remind me of the incident. For whatever reason, decided against it, probably fearing that he may not share his excitement. This, Rabbi Isai, was the embodiment of another Gemara which we studied that year when we were in Menachos together. Derech Agav, that year, I was zeicher to hang along with him, and we finished half of Zvoch and half of Menachos at night Seder. The Tanoim tell us in Menachos and Yerchesim Abeis, V'chazalti al kol tamidov, u'bikashti li chover v'lematzasi. He was looking for something. Ach shem shenisa li posul, hechzalti li avidosi. Told him now what the correct text was. And the Tana said like this: Zogu Einov Dmoyeris His eyes shed tears of joy. And it wasn't a song that described Reb Moshe's life. That is what it was. There was another very special aspect of his personality that impacted on his relationship. In fact, the many letters that were exchanged concerning all aspects of Torah, it was in Yom Zroim, Kochim, Tyres, and Moyed, etc. Discussions of Tumas Mess, of different parts of bodies, and what the Dinim were. In fact, there was even one discussion about the altercation and of Yishmael Kohen Gadol holding the head of Shimon ben Gamliel being killed on Kiddush Hashem. What was that? The Kohen? What was the issue? There was something else in those letters. Clearly demonstrated that the herd philosophy, which really defined a lot of Yeshiva Bachurim, or the world itself these days, was very foreign to his Welt Ha'Sharon, to what we would call Hashkofas HaChayim. He was ready to go everywhere and anywhere, whether alone or in my company, in order to gain the learning. This led him to many learning destinations. An odyssey that brought him to Israel, to Suffolk, and to Lakewood. There is a clear mandate for this in the Gemara. The Gemara says, and I'm going to show on your testament, Aleph, And then the Gemara ends. Elu Bale Talmud Shekol Sikhosom Divre Tera Moahavti Sera Secho Koyoy Isikhosom. Since there was a clear mandate for this in the Gemara, he put this into practice at a tremendous emotional cost, which we'll not discuss now. I just wanted to relate our last conversation. After he gave me the b'china, he asked me what the tzubach that had asked us about. This was all on this Rosh Hashanah, our last meeting, which was after Mincha. I thought I would be gracious, and I wished him a ksiva v'chsima teva v'sikhan shel tzadikim gmur. I told him, listen, of the Elder Zayde, his great-grandfather, Rab Chaim, What this is the bracha in all the letters that he wrote from Rosh Chodesh Elul. His response was chilling, to say the least. He said to me, "What do you mean? It's after Chatzis. It's after midday. Sheinochtet mardin. My fate is very sealed." That was our general interaction. I didn't ask any questions and just moved on. To sum up, I feel very clearly that one can give the Moshe the title Ish Hashkolis. The Gemara explains that this is someone who has everything. My Hashkolis, the Gemara said to Menzayim Abayis, Om Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, Isha Kolboi. Rashi says, the Seita, Teira Bavitosa, Vein Doifi Vishikva Machlekes, Rashi Tmura, Teira Vyirashet, Ugminas Chasodim, the Rava Pirish Mishnais, the Seita, Ashkelois, Kinoi Ish, Hakil Amigas Hanalois, Vamadoim, Visugeim, Womam Ashkelois, Isha Kolboi. The meaning? Mashal ish, nichlu boy, shleimus hamidais, u shleimus hachochmas kulam. It's not a title, which those who know me have heard me use often. And frankly, I heard his grandfather use this title in all the years only once in a private conversation with him. But it's very clear that his grandfather would have given Rav Moshe this title, Ish Hashkolis, Mi'etim Tmurasim.